Our scripture for this morning is found in two parts of the Bible this morning. The first is an Old Testament reading from the book of Isaiah in the second chapter, verses 1 to 5. I'll be reading to you from the Common English Bible this morning. This is what Isaiah, Amos's son, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. In the days to come, the mountain of the Lord's house will be the highest of the mountains. It will be lifted above the hills. People will stream to it. Many nations will go and say, "Come, let us go up to the Lord's mountain, to the house of Jacob's God, so that he may teach us his ways and we may walk in God's path." Instruction will come from Zion, the Lord's word from Jerusalem. God will judge between the nations and settle disputes of mighty nations. Then they will beat their swords into iron plows and their spears into pruning hooks or tools. Nation will not take up sword against nation. They will no longer learn how to make war. Come, house of Jacob, let's walk by the Lord's light. And then from the Gospel of Matthew in the 24th chapter, as it is the Gospel, I would invite you to stand in reverence and respect as you are able in body and spirit. But nobody knows when that day or hour will come, not the heavenly angels and not the Son. Only the Father knows. As it was in the time of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the human one. In those days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day Noah entered the ark. They didn't know what was happening until the flood came and swept them all away. The coming of the human one will be like that. At that time, there will be two men in the field. One will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding at the mill. One will be taken and the other left. Therefore, stay alert. You don't know when the day of the Lord is coming. But you understand that if the head of the house knew at what time the thief would come, he would keep alert and wouldn't allow the thief to break into his house. Therefore, you also should be prepared, because the human one will come at a time you don't know. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated, and let us join our hearts in prayer. Almighty One, who comes down from Zion, who comes to understand your people in the best way possible by being one of us, by coming each day for each one of us, we invite you into our hearts, into our minds, into this worship, speaking your word as we prepare the way of the Lord. May the words of my mouth, the thoughts and meditations of each of our hearts be found pleasing and acceptable in your sight, Lord, our rock and our redeemer, the one who comes in a manger in Bethlehem. Amen. The oracle of Isaiah's opening words temporarily locate the events it describes in the days to come. An expression, though, that can be used to describe both the mundane, as found in Genesis 49 and Numbers 24, or to explain the eschatological realities as found in Isaiah 27:6. How distant from the prophet and the prophet's words and their contemporaries those days may be is not specified. So we simply move forward. We simply are told to get ready for another Christmas, not quite sure how to do it or how to endure it. As we wait, as we have been waiting, as our ancestors have been waiting in these in-between times before Jesus comes again, there are many seasons. Each year there's winter, spring, summer, and there's fall. There's also the church year as we begin anew today, Advent and the Christmastide, Epiphany, Lent, Easter, Pentecost, and Common Time. And let's not forget about the seasons of birth, life, and death. These are all upon us. Especially, though, during these holiday times of the year when we have so much of a to-do list to do and it's so extra long. How do we endure? And how do we find meaning within the daily grind? Last Sunday, many of you might remember, we talked about the ODTAA syndrome. One darn thing after another. You know, some days and some weeks and even some months, that's the motto of most of us. Just another darn thing again. And here we are at Advent, Christmas 2024, and it's still ODTAA. We've been waiting approximately 2,021 years now for the second coming of Jesus Christ. And it's been ODTAA most of the time. How do we keep on waiting? How are we supposed to keep on watching? Be prepared. That's what Jesus says. Be prepared. Paul emphasizes it in his letters. Matthew actually reiterated in the gospel, and eventually the Scouts of America took it up as their own mantra. Be prepared. The season of Advent, beloved, begins today. Today is the first day with its own admonition to Christians everywhere to be prepared. But for what are we being called to be prepared? Are we preparing our hearts and our lives and our spirits to receive the second coming of Jesus Christ? For many, it might be the first coming. For others, it's something that we understand happens every day if we open our eyes. But are we waiting for that final moment? Or are we preparing for a final month of frenzied shopping, holiday headaches and heartburn, economic homicide that is willfully sacrificing your bank account, a 10-pound weight gain, endless renditions of the same one dozen Christmas carols on the radio, one for every group of age, suicidal shopping mall traffic, the general atmosphere of surliness, depression, desperation, anxiety, and rage. Caught up in a consumer Christmas, we can easily find that instead of preparing to sing, O Holy Night, we are thinking, O Holy Nightmare. For another season of ODTAA, I did something I don't usually do on Facebook this last Sunday. I went to my account and I put out a question for the hive mind. I've heard about it and I've looked at it and I've wondered about it. But I tried this week and I asked the question, how do you endure and find meaning in the daily grind? Well, I received at least 30 pieces of sage advice, and then about 40 other pieces of advice. The advice ranged from the very first one I got that said, family. Anytime I feel overwhelmed and tired of that grind, I remember those who need me, who depend on my love and support. Family. That's a person I knew at St. Mark. Another says, and this is a preacher, there's no choice. Thanks. Could you expound? And it went all the way to others such as, not that there's this other choice, but somebody actually said, stop thinking of your daily existence as a grind, exclamation point. Where's that defriend button when you need it? And then there was the pastor at Northside United Methodist Church, Dr. Bill Birch, said, and I quote, you can go to my website, my Facebook, and look it up. He said, I listen to Dana Everhart preach. If you need an example of a suck-up, that's Bill Birch. There are two statements, though, that really hit me between the eyes. Two statements that kind of zinged truth for me. The first one was from a member here at Kingswood who simply said, hope, and knowing God is with us even in the smallest of details.
And then one of my former choir directors at a former appointment said two words, just two simple words. I pray. Hope and knowing God is with us. I pray. That's too simple, folks. I mean, come on. This is big stuff. The daily grind is serious stuff, isn't it? George Bailey was living that daily grind from childhood to adulthood. If it could go wrong and be delayed, those big dreams of traveling around the world, building skyscrapers, it went wrong and it got delayed through the whole movie. He lost his hearing by trying to save his baby brother from drowning in icy water. He stopped a big mistake of the druggist he worked for by who had mixed the wrong dosage, and he got slapped in the ear for it. His father dies right before he gets to go to college and travel the world. And he's forced to take over the measly Bailey Savings and Loan Company. He lets his little brother instead go to college ahead of him and to experience glory and travel. He does find love one day, but it's the same day that the world economy collapses and his bride gives away all their honeymoon money so that the Bailey Savings and Loan can stay open. George's ODTAA life continued to limp along until crazy Uncle Billy lost $8,000 of a deposit that was due to Mr. Potter's bank. George, poor George. What is it that kept his faith or his strength or his ability to face the daily grind? And when I ask myself that, I come back to our member who said, hope. It was hope. There was always a spark of hope, it seemed, in George's heart that tomorrow would be better. Tomorrow would be the day when his life will kick off and he'd be fulfilled and complete. Tomorrow. And we think the same. Tomorrow, God will bring to fruition all of God's great plans for humanity. God's complete thought and complete fullness of life. Tomorrow, the hope of the world will come and will be redeemed. Because God redeems God's people and God will bring harmony and unity to this world of His. Tomorrow, it will be Christmas for all of the people on planet Earth because redemption will come from God's own heart. We hope tomorrow it will come. Sadly, my father taught me as a little boy that tomorrow never comes. You see, when tomorrow gets here, it's today. But beloved, how do we keep the gift of hope alive when the day keeps moving as a target? Well, we pour our heart into the gift of hope, to the gift that is always ours, that fits every one of us, doesn't need to be exchanged. You see, when tomorrow gets here, it may be today, but we're still hoping. I'm not talking about ignoring life. I'm not talking about wearing rose-colored glasses and denying the harshness of life. We endure, but we don't deny it. That daily grind, that headache, that heartache, the unbelievable moments, the brokenness, the loss, the boring moments, the unbelievable meanness and hatred of people, the coldness of the world. We hope. Hoping and believing God is still in control. Hoping and open to the way that God will lead us and guide us and bless our daily living in ways we will never understand and never see. But know deep down within the core of our hearts that it is real. Hope is a feeling or an expectation or a desire for something to happen, according to the dictionary. And that's the noun of the word. But there's also a verb for hope, where action is put to that expectation or to that desire. Paul states to the Hebrew church, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." There is no noun living. There is only action for those who are of Christ, and the making of hope come alive. We are hoping for the coming of Christ so that life will be so much more. But we, beloved, we live with that hope new each day. We live with that hope now and every day in the ways that we work out that hope that we have been given. In so doing, we don't wait till tomorrow for the coming of Christ, for Christ comes today to you personally, where you are at, for he knows your need now. George Bailey saw it in many ways, whether he knew it or not. He was living a wonderful life. Three people had their lives physically saved because of him. And many more were filled with the spirit of wonder. A wonderful life because of sacrifices he made. Others lived in warm homes. They had their lives complete. They had pride in themselves. Because of him, the town had an identity. The home fires kept burning while others were away in the Great War. There was a legacy to move the needle and to prepare the way for the day. And George was there at every step. For you and for me, our hope is active and deep within us, working vitally to bring you this day. You're here this morning, or you're watching us online this morning because you have a hope that this Advent, this season, will be different. Not the same old ODTAA season. You're activating your hope as you pour your lives into others' lives with the love of the one whose birth we will celebrate, to the one whose life comes and interrupts our life every day. You're activating your hope when you see the candle lit and the breath and the hope for this season to bring Christ into the world, into your home, into your very heart today. But hope without prayer is powerless. Even George Bailey knew that, because that's why he sat for a minute in Martini's bar and uttered a prayer, "Oh God, help me." And God did help him, not in the way that George wanted, but in a way that opened his eyes to the true fact that this is a wonderful life. And he waited still for the redemption of all, but he knew and hoped for more. We are called to pray. We're called to pray the angels of God to come down and to show us and to prepare the way. We must pray for an active hope in the face of a broken and crazy one darn thing after another. And this one darn thing after another culture, and this one darn thing after another world in which we now find ourselves. We pray, "Thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven." That's a Christmas wish. That's an Advent hope. Christmas is known as our preeminent national holiday here in the States and probably around the world. It also has become one of the most pathetic Christian holy days. In their book, Resident Aliens, Will Willimon and Stanley Howards tells the story of a rabbi who lives in Greenville, South Carolina. It's a friend of theirs who used to challenge the values of society around him by telling his own children, "That's fine for everyone else, but it's not fine for you. You are special. You are different. You are a Jew. You have a different story, a different set of values." Let me translate that for you. You must hope regardless, for you are different. You are a child of God, and know he will never leave you nor forsake you. Perhaps it's time for Christians to say the same kind of things to our children and our grandchildren at Christmas time. We already have a wonderful life. Yes, we have many things to endure in this daily grind, but we're hoping for a holy night, not a holy nightmare, that will transform the world, transform our church, transform each and every life around us. Our story is very different. We're called to endure. We're called to endure with hope. Hope that the story coming into this Advent season is a story for all. Isn't it time, beloved, that we rediscover the Christ of Christmas, the Christ who came, as the old revival song says, not to see through you, but to see you through. It's a wonderful life, my friends. Let's endure it. Let's endure it with the hope that is given to us this day as Christ comes in our midst today. And we can say, come, Lord Jesus. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.